Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of the Speak Truth Podcast. I'm your host, Blake Gideon, senior pastor of Edmonds First Baptist Church, and I've got Ashton Wright with me, who's one of our pastors here on staff, one of our executive pastors over all of our education, spiritual formations, and so it's great to have Ashton here with me today. In case I forget later on, let me go ahead and encourage you to like, subscribe, share, as we are trying to build our listening audience. Yeah.
Five-star reviews. That's it.
Okay.
That's what we need.
If you could do that for us, we'd appreciate it.
That's right.
All right. Ashton.
We got a lot to talk about today.
We do.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about the Southern Baptist Convention.
Southern Baptist Convention.
Yep, I got to go this year.
This is your first time to get to go.
Yep.
Second time.
It's been a
first
long
time with us.
Yeah, first time here. And
what'd you think about it?
There is a lot that goes on.
There's a lot that goes on.
I think that's the best way I can describe it.
There's a lot of peacocking going on.
Yes, there is. There's a lot of peacocking and a lot of people running around talking and working
back,
to get back door
meetings, and
I'm just, you just sit there and watch it all unfold.
So and you wonder what the Lord thinks about all of it.
Right.
Well, this is my 23rd time.
Yeah.
23rd or 24th time to go to the SBC. So I've been to a lot of them.
How is the climate of the SBC changed in those 23 years, right? 23 times you've gone, I guess.
I can remember the very first one I went to was in Nashville.
Yeah.
And Adrian Rogers preached.
Wow.
Legend. Bobby Welch was the president of the SBC at that time. And he is the author of, remember, Faith Evangelism?
Yep.
So he wrote that and really had a strong, Each one type thing,
right.
Really challenging people in evangelism. Adrian Rogers preached. That was actually the last. He died not too long after that. He knew he had cancer when he preached.
Wow.
There was another exciting thing about that convention, too, is they invited a bivocational pastor from Oklahoma to preach.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Nowadays, it's...
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Anyway, I'll behave myself.
That's right.
But it was awesome. It was awesome. And
the stadium
was packed. There was probably, you know, somewhere close to 25,000 people there.
Wow.
Yeah. It,
wow.
It was remarkable.
Wow.
And it's kind of gone down ever since then.
Yeah.
It's with the recent controversies and stuff, there's been more people showing up at the convention. But nevertheless, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that want to know. Maybe not a lot, maybe a few that want to know our opinion about things that transpired at the SBC
and major aspects that people have seen. Maybe we heard of even on the news.
Well, but even before we get there, I mean, I think it's just awesome that we, you know, the International Mission Board appointed 83 missionaries.
Yes,
and that
Amen.
Was awesome.
Yeah,
and to see that, and so. I'm thankful that as a convention, we're still sending people overseas.
Praise the Lord.
And I'm thankful that our church gets to contribute to that.
Yep, absolutely.
Through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and also through our direct giving.
Yeah.
And so we're thankful for our partnership with the IMB, and it was great to see that.
Yeah, and even our sister churches in Oklahoma that had church members like we have had, and they're still out on the field, but...
Yeah, 2 years ago we had church members from our own church.
Yeah, yeah. And so some of our sister churches here in Oklahoma had couples who they were involved in that number. It's pretty amazing.
Right. However, there are some things that transpired that I think we need to address.
Absolutely. Yeah.
One of the major things that was voted on this year, or was voted on and failed, was the what was known as the Law Amendment.
Right.
And the Law Amendment was designed to amend our Baptist faith and message to clarify what we believe it already teaches, and that the role of pastor is reserved for men only.
Right.
That means any pastor. Hmm. Any pastor.
Yep.
Children's pastor. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean women can't serve.
Right.
As a children's director or a children's minister, but we have traditionally believed, and the Baptist Faith and Message also upholds this, and we were trying to clarify it.
Right.
And we need to clarify it because of what's happening across the SBC. Mm-hmm. But we needed 2/3 majority for that amendment to have passed. And we got 61%. We needed 66%. And so the law amendment failed. And I voted for the law amendment. I believe the Bible clearly teaches that the role of pastor is reserved for men. That doesn't, and let me be clear, we need women in ministry.
Absolutely.
And yep. I know our church, we just finished Vacation Bible School, and there was predominantly women serving. We had a lot of men too, but predominantly women serving in Vacation Bible School. And so I'm so thankful for women and their service and ministry. And there's so many things that women can do and we need them to do. But, you know, historically, we have believed as Baptists that the role of pastor is reserved for men.
Yep.
And churches are starting to move away from that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so you're starting to see churches that are starting to give the title pastor to women in the SBC. And the law amendment would have said, no, that's wrong. But it did fail. So here's what the Southern Baptist Convention believes right now. The Southern Baptist Convention believes that the role of senior pastor is reserved for men. Mm-hmm. That's what they believe. And that's good that they believe that. But as a result of this year's vote, they also believe that women can be pastors. They can hold the title of pastor.
Right.
As long as they're not senior pastor.
Right.
Or ordained.
Yeah.
If you ordain a woman as a pastor, then those are grounds for disfellowship. Mm-hmm. You know, last year, Saddleback Rick Warren's church was disfellowshipped.
Right.
From the Southern Baptist Convention over ordaining women. And then we had First Baptist Alexandria that was disfellowshipped this year.
Right.
Because they too had ordained women.
Right.
It's a little confusing because the Southern Baptist Convention right now, as it stands, you can be a woman pastor, just not ordained, or a senior pastor.
Right.
And a little confusing. And the law amendment, if it would have passed, would have clarified that.
Right.
But nevertheless, it didn't. And now, let me tell you what I've seen since that vote. I went on YouTube today, and there are churches, SBC churches, that are celebrating this failure of the law amendment by having women preach in their pulpits. It's like, yeah, you know, now we got the freedom to do what we'll, and so now, and I wrote a paper to our church, and I said, and there'll be people who disagree with this, and that's fine. They're welcome to their opinion. But the trajectory of the SBC has changed.
Absolutely.
We've turned a corner.
Yep.
And once you've turned that corner, you can't go back around it. And that trajectory is this, is that we've moved away from the Baptist Faith and Message, the Scripture, and we're starting to compromise with culture.
Yep.
And it won't be long before the SBC will be ordaining women, more than likely at some point, probably 5 years, 10 years from now.
Yeah.
And if we look at other denominations who have followed the same trajectory, it's possible that we would even be embracing LGBTQ.
Right. Wouldn't you agree that it boils down to a doubting of the sufficiency of Scripture, and almost a rejection of the sufficiency of Scripture, the clarity of Scripture.
The sufficiency of Scripture is easy to stand upon when culture's not rallying against you.
Yeah, that's true.
But as soon as culture starts putting pressure on you, we're seeing people cave. Where in the past they would have stood strong.
Yeah,
and I want to, Well, I'm going to share some personal things with you at the end of this podcast. So y'all stay tuned because I got some personal things I want to share. But let's just stay hooked up right now with what transpired.
Right.
And so that's where the SBC is at. You can be a woman pastor, just not ordained, and you can't be a senior pastor. I don't agree with that, but nevertheless.
That's what happened.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Another major issue was, there was a resolution about IVF and embryo adoption.
Yeah.
And the purpose of that resolution was to raise awareness.
Right.
Okay. There are some ethical issues with IVF that a lot of people don't consider.
Right.
First of all, let me just say that my heart goes out
to
couples who desire children, mm-hmm. but for whatever reason can't have children.
Yeah.
As I look in Scripture, it's the Lord who closes the womb and opens the womb.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some wombs that are closed.
Yeah.
And I hurt for those people who really want children. And so many of them, because of their desire to have children, choose IVF.
Right.
And there's been a big, since that resolution came out, I've had church members call me. I know other pastors have had church members call them, and they're just confused by it.
Right.
But here was the purpose of the resolution. First of all, a resolution is not a binding print. It's not like a policy.
Right. It's like with our Baptist Faith and Message, it's not like the law amendment was to change the Baptist Faith and Message. The resolution is not like that.
No, it's not a policy.
Yeah.
And so the purpose of the resolution was to bring awareness to the unethical potential of IVF. And so let me tell you how this usually works. Usually when a couple goes in and it costs a lot of money to have mm-hmm. in vitro fertilization.
Yeah.
I mean, it costs a lot of money. And so what they'll do is since they're paying all this money, they want the best chance.
Right.
So they fertilize 6, 7, 8 mm-hmm. eggs.
Yeah.
The fertilized eggs, they'll take 8 of them or whatever, and they'll implant 4 of them, mm-hmm. and then they'll freeze 4.
Yep.
So, let me ask you a question. When does life begin?
The moment of conception.
Fertilization.
Fertilization.
Right? Yep. So, the moment that those eggs are fertilized,
mm-hmm.
that's a child.
It's a child. It's a life.
So, when you take those 4 fertilized eggs, and I'm just using this as an example, and you freeze them.
Right.
You are freezing children in time.
Yeah.
You are incarcerating children.
Yep.
And the other issue with that is, the other issue is sometimes they'll implant eggs and let's say they want, much 4 eggs in there, 5 eggs, whatever. And let's say all of them survive.
Right.
But the family didn't want that many. Mm. So they'll go in and abort those other eggs.
Yeah.
Or they'll discard them in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And so the purpose of the resolution was to bring awareness to the that there are unethical issues with IVF that couples need to take into consideration.
Yes.
Before choosing to do it.
Yeah. One
now,
of the...
Now, go ahead. Let me just say this. There's even some people who argue about whether or not, is there ethical IVF? Is there unethical IVF? Of course, there's unethical IVF. Anytime you discard a fertilized egg or freeze a fertilized egg, you are freezing a child or you're discarding a child. And so the resolution right now, I don't know how many there are, but right now there are children who have been frozen in time, mm-hmm. fertilized eggs, that have been frozen in time for 7, 8 years.
Yeah.
A 7-year-old child that's never been born. Think about that.
Yeah.
And so the resolution is encouraging individuals to think about this before they do it.
Right.
And then also encouraging Christians to go and adopt those frozen embryos.
Yeah.
You can go adopt a frozen embryo and have it implanted.
Right.
The only ethical way of doing any type of IVF is that however many eggs you fertilize, if you go in there and you say, you know what, I want two eggs fertilized, and you have those two eggs implanted, and you're going to have those two babies.
Yeah.
You're not going to freeze any. You're not going to discard any.
Right.
There would be those who say that's the only way it could be ethical. But I want to challenge that thinking just for a moment. And I know this is a hard issue. I'm just trying to get us to think. I'm not trying to condemn anybody who's had IVF. I think, you know, if you've gone through IVF and God has blessed you with a child, that's amazing. We're just trying to get people to stop and think biblically, ethically,
right.
About it. And because not all of it is, you know, roses and rainbows.
Right, right, yeah.
But even if you do what so-called ethical IVF, if you do it, mm-hmm. aren't you still contributing to the whole unethical?
Right. Yep.
Whole
this billion-dollar.
Yeah.
Business.
Yeah. And so that was the purpose of the resolution, was to raise the issue mm-hmm. for people to stop and start thinking about that.
Right.
And so that was that. You were going to say something.
I was just going to mention that, you know, Al Mohler. The president of Southern Seminary talks about this because he was co-authored the resolution, and so he mentions that, and that's what I was going to bring up is that, you know, the implications that it's more than just that couple, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, it contributes to a whole, that there's this billion-dollar industry, and there are no. There are no restrictions. It's just yeah. this. It's turned into this massive billion-dollar industry where they're making, you know, human beings and then ranking them based off of viability, and then taking some, freezing them, or a lot of them, freezing them, and then if they're not adopted,
they discard them. Yeah,
and so it's exactly what you say. He made that point too, that you have to think about more than just you. Right, and which is hard to do, and well, I'm not trying to be.
And let's think about this from a gospel.
Unsympathetic, but.
Well, think about it from a gospel perspective.
Right.
We are called to incarnational living. Hmm. Okay? Now, what that means is that we are Jesus Christ, through the virgin birth, that is the incarnation, when God took on flesh mm-hmm. and dwelt among us. Mm-hmm. We as Christians have a responsibility to live incarnationally.
Mm.
Okay? We are to reflect Christ to this culture.
Amen.
Jesus wasn't married. Jesus wasn't rich. Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. So, if God closes someone's womb, he's closed it for a reason. And the reason could be that he wants them to live incarnationally. Mm. In other words, God hasn't blessed you with a child. Mm-hmm. So he has something else in store for you.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And we need to really seek God for what that is before we just run to another solution.
Right. Right.
Or is it adoption?
Right.
Adopting an embryo,
mm-hmm.
adopting a child,
mm-hmm.
rather than contributing to the unethical things that do happen through IVF.
Right.
So, something to think about.
Absolutely.
It may be that God has not blessed someone with a child because that's part of their incarnational living.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of their suffering for the gospel.
Right.
I mean, I think a barren womb for a woman is suffering.
Absolutely.
And we are called to suffer for the gospel. And so, I don't know, there's a lot of things to think about, but that was the purpose of the resolution.
Mm-hmm.
There was another thing that I'm a little concerned about, and let me just make a comment. This is not something that isn't known, okay, throughout our state convention and But our church chose 2 years ago, mm-hmm. I believe it was. I'd gone to the Southern Baptist Convention, and I came back frustrated for a couple of reasons. Number one, the Southern Baptist Convention hired a company named Guidepost, mm-hmm. Which is an organization that was designed to, you know, research sex abuse cases and so forth. And I think that, you know, needed to be done. But the problem is that we hired and we used CP dollars, cooperative program dollars, to hire Guidepost, which is a pro-LGBTQ organization. So think about that. Southern Baptists, who are biblically driven, mm-hmm. hired a pro-LGBTQ organization, contracted them to research, investigate, and to give us advice on sexual abuse. Well, first of all, cooperative program dollars are designated for our mission.
For mission, yeah.
Yeah, not for that.
Right.
And then on top of that, the Southern Baptist Convention, 2 years ago, I believe it was, or might have been 3 years ago, voted to remove attorney-client privileges. So the law firm that we had for over 50 years dropped us. Mm-hmm. And so the Southern Baptist Convention said, we got to hire a new law firm. I think they reacted rather than prayerfully seeking God. They reacted, and they hired this law firm known as Bradley & Associates, which it too, as recently as in this past June, where are we at? Are we in June or July right now?
End of June.
Okay, yeah. We're in the end of June. So this month,
yeah,
they tweeted their support of the LGBTQ community. Now, these are secular, worldly organizations mm-hmm. that promote beliefs that are not just contrary to what we believe, but are an affront and an abomination to God.
Absolutely.
And so I've always tried to be a principled man, not an emotional man, mm-hmm. not make my decisions on feeling, but to make my decisions based upon principle. Mm-hmm. And because I'm a principled man, I could not lead our church to support those two organizations. Mm-hmm. So I gathered up all the material that I could, and I brought it to our deacon body. And back then, our church was given 10% to the cooperative program. And I presented all this information to our deacons. And they were just flabbergasted. Mm. Shocked. And, you know, one of the things I shared with them was, you know what, I think we need to send a message to the SBC. And let them know that we don't want our mission dollars being spent in this way.
Right.
So I introduced to our deacons a CP reduction of 5%. We were given 10. I said, let's cut it to 5. Let's send a message. And our deacons were adamant. No, Pastor. We don't want any of our dollars going to those organizations. Mm-hmm. And so they pushed back on me and said, we want to move to direct giving. Mm. And so I took it to our missions committee, our stewardship committee, and then eventually to our church. And that's the decision our church made based upon principle, not right. feeling, not right. emotion, not personality. We're not mad at any one person. It's not personal. It's principled.
Yeah.
And so I just want people to know that. I think there's a lot of people that might have ideas, or they might assume or presume about why we did what we did, but that's why we did what we did.
Right.
And, you know, to be quite honest with you, I'd love to, at some point, you know, to see our church get back on board, I guess you could say, with the cooperative program. But we can't right now.
Yeah.
We can't. As long as Bradley & Associates, or the law firm for the Southern Baptist Convention, we cannot, based upon principle.
Right.
Guidepost is no longer contracted by the SBC, but millions of dollars later, paid them north of $10 million. And the DOJ came out and said, well, we didn't find a cover-up. So we hired an organization, paid them north of $10 million to investigate a supposed sex cover-up, a sexual abuse cover-up, that was supposed to be wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And the DOJ comes in and investigates, said, we found no evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So CP dollars were given to this pro-LGBTQ community, this organization,
for nothing,
basically.
Yeah.
And now we're paying a law firm to go on the website and on Twitter in June and talk about how much they support the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
So let me be clear.
Mm-hmm.
This is a principled decision.
Right.
Okay, we still give, our church still gives to the Oklahoma Baptist Homes for Children.
Yep.
We still give to the Oklahoma Village Community. We still give to that. We still give
Hope
to the
Pregnancy.
We still give to Hope Pregnancy. Mm-hmm. We still give to Boys Ranch Town.
Yeah.
We still give to the Oklahoma State Convention.
Yeah.
We still give to Falls Creek.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that don't think we give enough. But we do give.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm supportive of the leadership here in Oklahoma. But this is a principled decision,
right,
based upon godly conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And one more thing is, we all know who Planned Parenthood is.
Yep.
An antichrist organization. Planned Parenthood provides a 990. A 990 is a tax form that individuals are to, especially nonprofits, are to fill out,
mm-hmm,
that displays full financial transparency. And right now, our entities within the SBC, NAM, others, don't fill out a 990.
Mm.
So we don't have
full
financial transparency of these organizations that we're partnered with.
Right.
Why is that? Why is that?
Yep.
And so, me personally, I'd like to see us get a new law firm.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see us. I'd like to see us plant churches that are in line with our convictions. And I'd like for us. I'd like for the SBC entities to start filling out a 990.
Yeah.
And. You know, we're one church, and I'm sure nobody really cares about what we do or don't do.
Mm.
And that's fine. I'm happy pastoring this church, mm-hmm, best church in the world.
Yep.
I'm happy pastoring it. But I just wanted to, you know, those are some of the things that are going on in the SBC right now. These are things that I wanted to speak to and to clarify in case anybody really had questions about why we do what we do. I'll be honest with you. Since we've made these decisions, you find out who your friends are.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Yep.
Find out who your friends are real quick.
Yeah, and I think it also, Pastor, could serve as an encouragement to those that do recognize and see the things that are happening in the SBC. And they may say, well, we want to take a stand, but we don't know how.
Yeah.
And I think what you have led, but obviously our people voted in agreement to do this.
Well, this is what Edmonds First Baptist wanted. It was it was like, that's not, I presented something different.
Right, and they came back and said, we want to send a clear message.
We want to send a clear message.
And I think that there may be other pastors or other people that watch that say that they want the same thing, to send a clear message because of a biblical conviction.
Yeah.
Like you said, not emotional, not biblical conviction. We are trying to send the clear message of where we stand.
Yeah. And the reason I want to do this podcast and share that personal aspect of it is because nobody's ever asked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
We haven't been contacted. We haven't been asked. We haven't.
Yeah.
Nobody's called us. Nobody's.
Yeah.
It's like they don't care. Mm. And maybe that's true. Maybe they don't.
Yeah.
But we're going to stay true to the mission that God's given us.
Yep.
And we're going to stand upon biblical principle.
Yep.
I've never tried to get any other church to do what we're doing. Never
right.
have.
Right.
Never have. But I've always been open to discuss what we've done and mm-hmm. why.
Yep.
For those who are curious.
Yep.
So I hope the best. You know, I wrote a, let me read this letter that I wrote, the latter part of it. This is a letter I wrote to our church. And at the end of it, I said, I earnestly pray for collective action among other pastors and churches to voice a unified objection to those things I mentioned. Surely we can identify a law firm better suited to the convictions and values held by our dear SBC churches. The current affiliation with Bradley and Associates is, quite frankly, a point of embarrassment for the SBC. Now I want you to hear this. It is my hope that through thoughtful dialogue, so here's my willingness to work. I'm willing to work with leadership in the SBC. It is my hope that through thoughtful dialogue and principled standpoints, that's key,
mm-hmm.
we navigate these challenging times and emerge stronger in our shared faith.
Yeah.
Okay? There's a lot of people driven by emotion right now, feeling, mm-hmm. People making things personal. That's not what I'm doing. I'm standing upon principle.
Yeah.
Striving to be a principled man. Mm-hmm. And those who know me know that that's what I do.
Right.
I'm not saying I'm not prone to feeling and emotion and taking things personal, but those things are all driven by the flesh.
Right.
But that's not why we did what we did, nor right. why we're continuing to do what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're basing it upon principle.
Right.
And nevertheless, we're going to move forward.
That's right.
Yep. You got any more questions for me?
I think we've covered it.
All right. Well, we thank you for tuning in. Until we meet again, serve the King. Mm-hmm.